Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. In this episode, I speak with Danielle, and she asks two really good questions. The first one being whether or not you should schedule in refeeds or higher calorie days into your calorie deficit, and if you should, how often and when. The second question being whether or not you should have a limit on exercise during your calorie deficit, and or if you should recalculate your calorie deficit as you go along. Danielle, thank you so much for coming on. I hope you enjoy the episode. If you do, please leave a 5-star review. They help a lot. So thank you to huge thank you to everyone who's done that already. If you have any questions, let me know. Talk to you soon. All right, Danielle. So now we have to pretend like we didn't just say hi before we started recording.
Cool. Go ahead.
So thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, honestly.
So do me a favor, just give me some context. Tell me about yourself. I know you said you're from Australia, but just give me some context and we'll just jump right into the discussion.
Awesome. So I'm 29. I'm from Australia. I'm a registered nurse and I'm now back at uni full time studying medicine to become a doctor. So my uni is quite demanding.
What kind of doctor?
I don't know yet. Even though I've been a nurse for a few years now, I think I still need a bit more exposure as to what I would enjoy and what will suit me best. So I'm not sure yet, but
I love that honest
answer.
I've
got many, many years of training. Yeah, many years of training coming up, so I'll figure it out. I also used to be a professional dancer, so I guess I've had ups and downs with my body and with exercise and with food, especially when I stopped dancing and I started studying. That was like a really hard transition for me, obviously. And so my weight has fluctuated quite dramatically. In the last 12 months, I felt like I finally kind of got on top of figuring out what works best for me, and I think if anything just feeling happy within my own body. And so that's the kind of lowdown on who I am.
I love it. Thank you. So I know you had some questions you wanted to go over and some things you wanted to discuss, so whatever you want to talk about, I'm happy to discuss.
Groovy. Cool. I'll give you a bit more context about kind of, I guess, the journey I've been on the last 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Please.
Cool. Well, as I said, like, I've had a couple of lifestyle changes. I've gone from being professional dancer, like not actually exercising at the gym, but being incredibly physically active, you know, 6-7 days a week. And I was doing that from when I was a kid, basically, and not really having to think about food, or certainly not being educated around food choices and caloric intake or anything like that. I never had any problems around food that, you know, some people associate with dancers and all that. That was never really me. But when I kind of stopped, or when I changed lifestyles initially and I went to uni full time to study nursing, everything kind of just changed. And I think I put on about 12 kilos over 2 to 3 years, and I'm not a tall person, so that's quite a lot. And going from like professional dancer, really fit, really able, to that was really significant for me. I think mostly, if anything, it's more of an identity thing, because I always looked a certain way and I always was able to do certain things, and I found myself 3 years later just someone who I didn't know. And I felt like I really had no control over that. I didn't really know how to lose weight. The only way I knew how to lose weight was sometimes it would just happen. And that's probably more to do with the external things around me, whether I was more physically active or whether I had less time to eat, that kind of stuff, as opposed to the ability to make choices in what my body looked like, basically. And so that was probably about 5 years ago. And I've been working as a nurse since then, and it's kind of stayed the same. And it's kind of just been one of those things where I was like, you know, this is too hard to work out in regards to like losing weight or getting fitter. And I think I also had a bit of all or nothing. Oh, and the other thing that's probably more relevant is that when I stopped dancing, I got really into the gym. So this is like 2012, to the point where like some of the trainers I was with were like, you need to do fitness modeling. You need to like do one of these comps because from your dancing, like you kind of got, you know, you don't really need to do too much work to get there. And it was a learning process, but it's unfortunate that I did that because I think that was the first time I had an unhealthy relationship with food. It was one of those, here's seven scheduled meals and you're having seven almonds and 30 meals of this and, you know, this kind of thing. No autonomy, no education, no understanding of why those choices were being made for me. And that didn't last long. That lasted 6 months and it just ended up in repeated binges. And that's around the time that I kind of was looking into starting uni anyway. So that didn't eventuate at all, which is probably a good thing. But 5 years after that, my experience then with how I lose weight, in inverted commas, would have to be, in my mind, something that was restrictive and regimented and unenjoyable and kind of like you just had to work out the magic pill. You know, everyone's kind of looking for the magic pill, whether it's keto, whether it's fasting, whether it's whatever else. And I had no faith in what method was going to get me there. So fast forward and, you know, about 12 months ago, and I realized that not only was I unhappy with how I looked, but I was just generally not as healthy as I previously was. And I was diagnosed with PCOS, which is a super, super common thing. But what I do know is that it's related to insulin resistance. And that obviously has correlations with, you know, being having excess body fat, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I kind of made the choice of if I want to change, I don't know the perfect way, but I have to start somewhere. So this is when I was still living in Sydney, which is where I'm originally from. I kind of signed up with a trainer who I knew from my dancing days. She's fantastic. And she introduced me to like counting calories, and she kind of got me back into a bit of weight training. But I think because of my lifestyle with shift work, I was doing night shifts every couple of days, 12-hour shifts, incredibly, you know, demanding shifts. Things weren't falling into place. Then I got into medicine and I decided to study here in Geelong because Sydney's so expensive and because it's a great uni down here. So anyway, I moved down here and I was on this, you know, 9-to-5 sort of timetable where I had more control of my sleep. I genuinely had more time, believe it or not, to focus on myself. And I made the decision at the start of the year because I knew when I started my last degree, I gained a lot of weight. Like I had some pretty bad habits set up and I was like, I'm going to do it differently. Like I'm not going to know the perfect way, but I just did something. And I, you know, signed up with the gym. I did classes. And I pushed through all that kind of perfectionistic stuff of, I don't know the perfect workout to do. I don't know what the perfect diet is. You know, I was like, doesn't matter. You're just going to try something. And then through the process of that, that's when I truly educated myself in regards to just the fundamental principle about all this in regards to weight loss. And that is essentially taking in less calories than you are consuming. That is something I couldn't argue with. That's something that theoretically and scientifically makes sense to me. And it was just little bits of here and there. And then it, you know, little habits turned into things that, you know, the whole habit stacking thing. And I followed some great people on Instagram, like yourself, Blaine Norton, Mark Carroll, there's a few other absolute legends out there. And basically educated myself. And from there, I learnt the tools to, I've lost, I think, about 10 kilos in the last 12 to 18 months.
Wow,
I've gained strength.
That's amazing.
I've put on, yeah, it really is. Like, it's kind of, it, yeah, it genuinely is to me, because it, not because I'm like, I'm amazing, but, well, you know, that's also pretty cool, but it's also, it just felt like it was always an impossible task. And not only have I done it, but I've enjoyed it, like genuinely enjoyed it. I take so much enjoyment out of it. And I go to the gym not because I have to or because I need to lose weight. I go to the gym because I freaking love it. And I love having healthy, wholesome foods prepared for myself and have the ability through counting my calories to basically have freedom in what I eat. So point of the story is I kind of was in the dark. Now I'm not, through educating myself. And the whole process has been actually enjoyable. And it's been quite successful.
That's incredible. So huge congratulations. Yeah. That's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And I never really had any problems with it, even though I was studying full time and I'm still working, still trying to have a sort of social life. I never really had any problems with it, and I was still able to kind of maintain it. And then it was around the time that I messaged you, obviously, that I had kind of the first issue with, I guess, my food. There was just a couple of days, there was one or two days actually, where I just had this overwhelming, it's like every cell in my body was just screaming, you need to have more food. And I don't know whether that's literally because that was cues from my body to say you're not eating enough, or whether that was a psychological kind of defense mechanism for my body to try and eat more food. I don't know what it is. But because I was like, all right, well, I'm going to listen to that. It's just a day. So if I have a high calorie meal, that's fine. Like, it's just one day. But because I was kind of in that headspace of I need more food, like so much right now, I obviously didn't really have the ability to be like, well, what's a reasonable meal? Well, I'll just have what I eat, but in high amounts, or I'll just have this meal that I like, but in high amounts. You know what I mean? Like, and so I was kind of like, okay, now I have like all this food available to me. And what I essentially did was I binge for like an hour because I didn't make a choice. And that happened for a couple of days. And I was like, what is this? Like, no, 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 no. This isn't me. This is not how we do this. What's going on? So I didn't like that at all. I was like, that's, yeah, not happening. So I had a bit of time to think about why that may have happened. And my theory is that because I had stopped uni, we had just started holidays, I had all this time to go to the gym to do like 3-hour bush walks. And I think that my, over like 2 weeks, my output, as in my energy output, dramatically increased. I went from 4 days of weight training to 5 with 2 days of HIIT cardio with 3-hour bush walks 3 times a week. My step count was like sky high compared to what I was used to. And I didn't adjust that in my intake. I was still trying to be in a deficit. And that's my theory of what happened then. But it also led me to wonder, because I've received some advice and I've heard some things about kind of having those high calorie days or high calorie meals. People call them cheat meals. People call them refeeds. I don't care. But let's talk literally. It's just a high calorie meal. And I wanted to, A, get your advice on these kind of refeed meals or days during a deficit, whether it's a metabolism point of view, whether it's a psychological point of view. And B, when I am in a deficit, if I should be putting a cap on how much exercise or general energy expenditure that I put out. So there are my two questions for you.
Got it. Okay, perfect. So let's go over one at a time. Could you just do me a favor and reiterate the first question? We'll start from there.
Absolutely. So I would like to get your advice or your take on the advantage or the necessity of a high calorie meal or high calorie day during a deficit, either from a metabolism point of view or a psychological point of view to maintain consistency and maintain a bit of sanity and prevent binges.
Perfect. Yep. I think it's really important to, before even discuss like the psychology or the physiology, sort of almost come up with a definition of it, right? And some people call it a cheat day, right? Mm-hmm. Some people will just call it a refeed day. When I was younger, like way, way younger, I used to call it a cheat day. Then after that, after a long period of time, I was like, I wasn't a fan of calling it a cheat day because cheat implies that you're doing something wrong. And I'm still very much of that mindset and cut from that cloth in terms of I don't like calling it a cheat day mainly because of the connotation that it has. I'm not very Absolutely. Rigid with that, though. I'm not like very rigid with that just because I know some people who call it a cheat day and their mind doesn't make it something bad. I really think Yeah. it's however you end up viewing it. If calling it a cheat day causes you to have guilt or causes you to think you're doing something wrong or maybe even causes you to binge more because of that negative mm-hmm. connotation, then yes, we need to change the term. Otherwise, I'm not too concerned and not too rigid. I know some people get really upset and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe you called it a cheat day. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm like, I don't really care that much. But I do think it's important to have a working definition. So whether you call it a refeed day or a high calorie day or a day where you're just, you know what, I'm going to eat more calories. Like, I don't really mind, but I do think it's important to have that discussion. I also think it's worth discussing. I'll say this. I do think there's a lot of value in higher calorie days while you're in a deficit. I think it depends on, how long you've been in a deficit. I think it depends on how steep your deficit is. I think it depends on how low your body fat percentage is. And I think it depends on you as an individual. That being said, I also very much believe that it doesn't only have to be a day. Are you there?
Yes.
Danielle, can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I just heard some weird stuff in the background. I very much believe it doesn't have to just be a day either. And I think this could be a longer discussion if we really want to, in terms of I'm not always the biggest fan of only having a single high calorie day, oftentimes because when it's only a day, people will, it's easier to go down that binge route, right? It's easier to be like, this is it. This is my high calorie day of the week. So I'm going to go all out, which is, it's sort of like intermittent fasting, but instead of the day to day binge, it's like that weekly binge. So for me, and I have two types of deficits, right? For the one calorie deficit I have is the Hail Mary deficit, where you just go into deficit for a month or 2 months or 3 months at a time. I have another deficit that I call the jab deficit, which is like you go into a deficit for like a week or 2 weeks, and then you come out of it for a week or 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Then you go in it for a week or 2 weeks and come out of it for a week or 2 weeks. And I like the longer term maintenance breaks because now it's not just a day. It's not like you're just going to binge for the entire day. It's like I'm going to take literally 1 or 2 weeks off completely, and it's much more relaxed, and it's preceded by 1 or 2 weeks of being 100% consistent. And I like that very brief short-term consistency because I'd rather someone be 100% consistent for 2 weeks than 60% consistent for 2 months. So I like that brief on, brief on, brief on, brief off. So to answer your question in a very roundabout way, I very much believe there's tremendous benefit both physiologically and psychologically to having higher calorie days. From a practicality perspective and from a avoidance of binge eating and from a just my experience as a coach and what helps long-term success and sustainability, I found that having a single day every week to be very provoking and provocative it very easily result in binge eating because you just have that one day.
Be triggering.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
100%, definitely. I think that So I'm very much open to, because at the moment I'm just doing a 12-week thing. I don't want to go any more than that And after that, I kind of want to go to maintenance or momentum, as you coin it.
I love that you know that. That makes me super happy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, man. I listen to a lot of your stuff. And from there, I'm definitely going to give like a slight surplus or, you know, just continue maintenance for quite a while I focus on a bit of strength and muscle and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, so it's kind of like a 12-week thing. And I've made a plan. I'm very regimented and very organized. This is what makes me happy. And I'm very open to the idea of at the 6-week mark, literally having a week at maintenance or just a week break or whatever. I think my question is, how do I know how often to do it? And should I, instead of just doing like one day or 3-4 days, at certain, like whether it's 3 or 4 weeks in between, or do I just do 1 week at the 6-week mark? Like, I'm talking specifics here, but like, I don't know when to do them and for how long. Yeah.
So let me ask you this. You say you're going to do 12 weeks on in a deficit, correct?
Yeah.
Is there anything specific about these 12 weeks or something that's going to happen at the end of 12 weeks that like you have to, like this is the specific end, or is it more just like that's your timeline?
Definitely nothing at the end of the 12 weeks. This is just my timeline.
Okay. So there's no, yeah. There's no rush, correct?
Correct.
And I'm assuming, and tell me if I'm wrong, that this is something by the time you get to the end of it, you would like to not, number one, regain it. And you would like to be able to not go back into a deficit for a while still maintaining your current leanness.
Correct. And I think the other point of, the point of why I'm kind of doing this is A, because it's kind of enjoyable to learn about it and to kind of keep practicing it and all that, but mostly because I want to get to a point before I go into maintenance or a surplus where I want to focus on that, is I want to get a bit more body fat off me, because I think from what I understand that's kind of a good point to go off. But yes, I want at the end of it, the main point is for long-term sustainability, for sure. Yes.
Amazing. Okay, so with that in mind, I would ask, would you consider doing something more along the lines of 2 to 3 weeks of a consistent deficit followed by 1 to 2 weeks of maintenance and repeating that until you reach your goal?
Yes, but from a numbers perspective, like what I'm doing at the moment is, to me, that would mean that my deficit would have to be lower. I would have to be taking in lower calories for those 2-3 weeks than what I'm doing consistently. Because if you put the numbers together, if you put the average amount of calories taken in, like, how do I say this? If I'm going to lose, so I do have I have an aim of losing about 0.4 of a kilo per week. I don't know what that is in pounds. I apologize. But that works out to be about a 400 calorie deficit per week over 12 weeks. So if that was to be spread out over and integrated into 2 or 3 weeks of maintenance, that means that those higher calories need to be counterbalanced with lower calorie weeks, as opposed to just in the middle. It's like the cycling, the calorie cycling during a week, but you just put it over 12 weeks. Does that make sense?
So, it makes total sense. And that's actually why I was wondering if there was a sort of a rush in order to get to where you're going, mainly because that 0.4 kilograms a week or so, that is where I find most people really hurting themselves psychologically.
Okay. Yeah, I hear that.
And I'll tell you this. We could get off this call and you could say, screw that guy. Like, I don't care what he says. And I wouldn't, my feelings wouldn't be hurt and I would respect your decision. That'd be totally fine. The reason I asked that question and the reason I would encourage you to do this method is specifically to avoid exactly what I see you going down in terms of when you have that well, I want to lose X amount per week. And if in order to accomplish that goal, well, then I would have to eat fewer calories on the deficit weeks in order to make up for those maintenance weeks. Now all of a sudden you're getting into a world of I'm basing my success and failure off of how much weight I lose every week. And that is where you really end up possibly developing more unhealthy relationships with food.
And that.
It sounds like you are in a very good place mentally and emotionally, and that might not happen. And if it doesn't, then amazing. And I support you either way. Coming from my background as a coach, working with a lot of people who've struggled with binge eating, who continue to struggle with binge eating, struggle with food anxiety, maintaining a certain level of leanness, my main goal is to first and foremost ensure a very healthy relationship with food, and followed up by maintainable, sustainable fat loss. Because anytime we try and accelerate that process and either accelerate it or base our success off of a measure that we can't control, that's when we make ourselves susceptible to really, really developing a very poor relationship with food. So what I would encourage you to do is first and foremost, completely and utterly drop that weekly goal, weight loss. Like, that is probably, I think, the worst thing you could do.
Okay, sure. I trust you. Yeah.
Mainly just because what happens if you don't hit it? Like, who cares?
Totally. I think, I don't know if this changes your perspective, but I totally agree with what you're saying. And I think that that does apply to me. But I don't know if this changed it. Like, the way I've kind of done it is I've, based on what I was taking in my previous deficit, I was able to basically approximate that my maintenance calories with the exercise I do is approximately 2,100 calories, approximately.
Right? Okay, perfect.
Yeah, and so when I kind of started this, I assumed that a 400 to 500 calorie deficit would be about 1,600, 1,700.
Okay.
So I started off with that, and I ended up, and for that point, I didn't go, I have to hit that number, otherwise I won't lose 0.4 kilos a week. I said, let's try this. Let's see what happens. I'll go over some days, and I certainly did, and that's okay. And I just logged it all, and I've got like an average of what I took in for that week. And then I look at the average over that week of what my weight was, and I look at the correlation. I go, okay, that's interesting. And the next week I was, because I basically lost weight, I lost more than what I expected. And so I was like, that's interesting. And I was taking in more calories. So I did again for the next week, and I was like, huh, I've taken in more calories again, and I'm still losing weight. So I'm kind of, instead of being like, I'm just looking at it as just data at this point, to the point where last week, my weight fluctuates dramatically during the week and every day. And last week was weird because I was basically 0.1 of a kilo the same weight every single day. And I was taking in the number and I was writing it down, but for some reason my head just went, oh, that's interesting, I'm not losing weight, or I've put weight on, or something like that. And then when I got to the end of the week and I was looking at the numbers and looking at the averages, I said, hang on, why did I think I wasn't losing weight? I've lost like 0.8 of a kilo. Like, what? And like, that's how disconnected I am to those numbers right now. It's to the point where I'm kind of just like putting it into my Excel sheet and then kind of just going up my day. And then on Sunday, I kind of look at the numbers and go, oh, that's interesting. I was taking in more calories. I'm still losing this amount of weight, that kind of thing. And I'm almost using it as like an experiment because I think it's genuinely interesting. And that's quite different to what I was doing last year in November, when I had a 4-week period of going, it's 4 weeks until I've got a couple of events and some holiday stuff and a wedding and all that kind of stuff. I was like, sweet, so let's just like bang out a 4-week deficit, 500 calories, let's do it. And that means that I'll lose this amount of weight over 4 weeks. And I think that there's no surprise that I had these binging episodes with that. So I don't know if that changes your perspective of how I'm kind of doing this, but
well, it sounds to me like you have developed a very healthy relationship with food and the scale. In which case, if you'd like to go 12 weeks straight in a deficit, I'm totally fine with that. And I have many, many clients do that. My main thing is I just want to be clear. If you start to feel yourself going down the path of binging, I would encourage you to immediately get out of a deficit if you're starting to feel that, and to take a maintenance break. And then from there, think about possibly doing the more of the jab deficit approach, where you take 2 to 3 weeks consistently and then 2 to 3 weeks away. Otherwise, if you want to go 12 weeks, just 100% consistent in a deficit, I have no issue with that. I would just be very aware and conscious of how your relationship with food is. If you're going to do the 12 weeks straight in terms of refeed days, if you're already relatively lean, then I would say if you're going to do a day as opposed to a week or so, I would say once every 7 to 10 days is a really good, it's really good to shoot for. And generally speaking, the leaner you get, the more often the refeeds. I don't think that they need, I would very much encourage you not to treat it like a binge day, treat it like a refeed day.
Yeah.
Keep it still very planned. I would, if you want to go towards maintenance or even go into a little bit of a surplus on that day, I think it's totally fine. I would love it if you really included a lot of carbohydrates that day. I think the impact on that from a both psychological and physiological for many reasons is tremendous, and it can actually help reduce cravings. It can reduce hunger. So I would very much encourage you to do that. If you wanted to make it more of a 2 day or 3 day or a week long thing, then you could reduce it wouldn't be as many calories on a single day. It would be more of a balanced approach, but I would encourage you to still eat higher carbohydrate that week and really, try and fill up on that so that it helps both physiologically and psychologically. But I would say there's no wrong way to do it as long as you're doing it in a balanced approach.
Yeah. And the idea of doing the jab deficit as in, and just to clarify, that would be, was it one or two or three weeks of a deficit and then 1 or 2 weeks maintenance? Is it 1 week on, 1 week off?
It always depends on who I'm working with and it changes. But the general recommendation I say is between 2 to 4 weeks in a deficit and between 1 to 3 weeks in maintenance. I have had people go 4, 5, or 6 weeks in maintenance afterwards, just depending on how they felt. But generally speaking, that's what I recommend.
I really like the sound of that, only because there are periods when during the year or, you know, during the academic kind of semester when there are higher demanding weeks. And there'll be times when I would have kind of gone, look, this week's just going to have to be one of those weeks where I can't prioritize being in a deficit. And so that idea of having the on and off, kind of the cycling like that, work actually really well. And I think that psychologically for me, it makes a lot of sense, because to me that doesn't, not that 12 weeks sounds restrictive, but I do believe that there are points where I'm like 7 weeks in, I'm like, fuck, like, just let me like have a big meal, or like give me a break for not counting calories for a week. Like, you know, like I get that point. Like I actually really enjoy doing this. But sometimes there's times where you're like, I'm really sick of having to do A, B, and C, and I just want a break. And I agree that if I'm in the mindset of no, my approach is to be in a 12-week straight, none of this break shit, like, you know, you're just going to do it for 12 weeks. And if I reach a point where psychologically and physically I'm saying, dude, give me more food, or dude, stop counting because I need a break, I agree it would lead to me kind of not falling off the bandwagon per se, but kind of just going a bit too far, and then kind of feeling that kind of, you know, feeling of guilt or failure or that kind of thing. But as opposed to going, no, the plan is to be under and be consistent, you know, bang on 80% consistency, 90% consistency for 2-3 weeks, and then having 2 weeks of not like I can eat whatever I want, but just like I'm just in maintenance and I'm still doing my same thing, but I'm eating more food and I can lift heavier and I can not be so hungry when I'm trying to study and that kind of thing. To me that, like now it's kind of sitting in and I'm trying to think of how that applies on a day-to-day basis in my life. I'm like, that could work, you know? And I think that probably would mitigate any of the situations I was kind of imagining in regards to those days or those weeks. So I'm like, I need more food. What do I do?
Yeah, I think it really mitigates guilt a lot in terms of a lot of times when people, they say they want to be in a deficit for 4 weeks or 8 weeks or 12 weeks or whatever, they feel like they're supposed to be 100% perfect. And a lot of that is, I'd say actually 100% of that is completely and utterly self-imposed. No one else is forcing you to do that. The issue is that you guilt yourself when you go off track and then you think, well, I said I was going to be perfect and then I'm not perfect. And having these pre-planned weeks or days or whatever it is, it mitigates the guilt because it's part of the plan. And so I think it's super important. But listen, I don't want to force you to do it. And I don't think realistically you need to do it, but it's something for you to think about. And if you decide to try it, I would, one thing, especially if you have like a timeline of a time that you're going to be in a deficit, let's say you're like 12 weeks. And then within those 12 weeks, you have, I don't know, three of them or four of them are maintenance weeks, then I would just plan them out ahead of time, sort of map out. All right. So like this week 100%. Is going to be deficit. This week is going to be deficit. This week will be maintenance. This week, deficit, maintenance, deficit, maintenance, something like that. And 100%. That way, like you can sort of look ahead in your calendar and say, okay, so I know this week I'm going to be on vacation or this week I'm doing this. And now you just get a much better plan in order to, and I think one of the biggest benefits of that, and then we can go to the next question. I'm sorry. Is it always gives, there's having a light at the end of the tunnel is something I definitely want to speak more about. I think it's people go off track when they feel like people feel really restricted when they go into a deficit, oftentimes because they think I'm just going to have to eat like this forever. Like this is just going to be my life forever. And it just feels so demoralizing. And it's like, you know what? Honestly, I don't even care. I'm just not going to do this anymore because it's not worth it.
Yeah.
But the reality is it's not forever. And that's the reason I like having these pre-planned maintenance weeks, just because you have that light at the end of the tunnel, and having that allows you to be more motivated and more consistent.
100%. I couldn't support that more. I think it's such a mind game, isn't it? Like when you don't see, or when you don't have a plan, you're just like, this is it. And then you go, hang on, how long does this last? Am I going to have to count calories for the rest of my life? No.
Exactly.
Totally agree. Yeah.
So what was the second question?
Second one's a bit easier. And I think that it might just depend on the person. And I think that now it's not applicable because I'm quite time poor. Now I'm back at uni. But the question basically is, for times during a deficit, should you put a cap or should you put a cap on how much exercise you do, and or should you just try and stay consistent week to week so you don't have those huge fluctuations in energy output and any kind of physiological or psychological reaction to that?
Yeah, it's a great question. And for me, I very, very, very much believe that number one, when the goal is fat loss, you have to first and foremost understand that fat loss will come from your nutrition, like as the primary factors. Your nutrition is what's going to be the main driver behind your fat loss.
100% agree.
And that has to be understood, and not just understood, but really internalized, because when you start trying to use exercise as your driver of fat loss, then you develop unhealthy relationships, with both nutrition and exercise, and it becomes very difficult to manage appropriately. So I would say once you understand and internalize that nutrition is the driver, now you can start to plan your exercise and be much more realistic and pragmatic about it. And starting with, I like to do as little as possible while getting the most, like the maximal result. So the reason that I say that, it doesn't mean to exercise as little as you possibly can. It means to do as little as you need while still getting the most benefit. And there are a number of reasons for this, not least of which is if we're looking to, let's say you're trying to get super lean, like ridiculously lean, and you're really trying to optimize your fat loss. If you're starting off by going to the gym 7 days a week or 6 days a week or working out every single day or maybe even doing several things a day, you have zero room to improve. Like you can't add on to that. And you will get to a point in which you burned out. You will get to a point in which you don't want to do it anymore. You will get to a point and eventually you're going to get sick and you're not going to be able to go to the gym. God forbid you might get injured and you won't be able to work out like you used to. And then what happens?
Yeah.
And I think being able to optimize your fat loss through your nutrition first and foremost, well, then you'll be able to take it to a new level as you get better and better with your strength and conditioning and with your cardio on top of it. But that has to be secondary. Otherwise, you're really setting yourself up for a massive issue. So from there, I would say I would definitely try and keep your workouts consistent in terms of I wouldn't add or remove a lot right away, but I would have a very consistent plan that you stick to, whether that's 2 or 3 or 4 days a week of strength training and 2 or 3 sessions of cardio a week, I think is plenty.
Couldn't agree more. I think that the fact that it did suddenly increase wasn't because I was like, oh, I'm trying to lose weight. I have to go to the gym now 7 days a week or whatever. It was literally because this is back in November. It was literally because I had more time and I do love going to the gym. And I was like, oh, I don't have any uni work to do. Let's go to the gym. And I did that for like 2 weeks. And I think I just crashed and burned because I was, please don't get me wrong. I'm certainly not thinking like, oh, I got to like make sure I'm going 5, 6, 7 days a week. That's the only way I'm going to lose weight or get to this nut 100%. That's pretty much answered my question. I mean, I think there's just a rewarding part in it. Even having a plan, whether that's, 2-3 weeks deficit, 1 week, 2 weeks maintenance, or, going like 4 days strength training on these days and these days, having that plan and being just ticking it off at the end of the week and being like, kick those goals, I think is good enough. So I don't have the need to increase it. I think it's more just like if, let's say, if something comes up, like there's, some kind of class or something, and I go, oh, I might integrate that into my week. I might not if it's super, super, in excess of what I'm already doing. Yeah, because like, why put more demand on my body, I guess?
You've
answered my question.
It's just not worth it, really just not worth it. And I think, and I don't know if this is you or not, I have no idea. This is the first time you've ever spoken, I have no idea. But I think a lot of the times when you see the new class come in or you're just like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym, a lot of it is done out of a conscious or subconscious fear, or out of a fear of either losing progress or out of that motivation driven through fear of being like, well, I'm going to do this because it's going to speed up my progress even more. And this is it's a very dangerous route to go down when you're exercising out of a, well, oh, this is going to speed up my progress. And it goes back to one of the first questions I asked you, which is like, is there a timeline or a date or a rush? And most people will say, no, there's no timeline or date or rush. And then once that's established, cool. So why are you trying to speed it up? Why are you eating fewer calories? Why are you not taking a week to just go in maintenance? Why are you going to that extra class on top of it? So what, you can burn an extra 250 calories? Great. That's like, that's like not even a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Get the hell out of here. No. Like relax, you know, I think we get in these periods. It's funny. People ask, how do you get motivated? How do you get motivated? What they don't ask is, as often as, how do you stay motivated? I mean, it's a very, very important question to ask because anyone can get motivated. It doesn't take that much to get motivated, but to stay motivated, to stay consistent, that is a completely and utterly separate discussion. And the reality is when you can sort of look at motivation as like a fire, right? And it's a very cliche analogy, but I think it's a good one where you get motivated in the first day or week or whatever, and you got this roaring fire and you're just stoking it. You're just trying to make it into the biggest, strongest fire you possibly can. It's also going to go out very quickly. But if you take your motivational fire and you just sort of just, it's just like, it's there, it's small, but it's rolling. It's constantly there. It's a little flame. It's like, it's hot. Like if you put your finger in it, it's going to burn you, but there's no reason to like to try and build it up in a huge forest fire, cause it's going to go out really fast. You want to just keep it burning a little bit, and that keeping your flame burning just through little bits here and there and allowing to feed it. And just so it can just stay consistent. That's the best flame, is the consistent flame, not the roaring one that's then put out in a minute.
My God, yeah, couldn't agree more. And I think it's also, especially when it's a process like this, you say it, you know, constantly, you need to be patient. These things take time. This is not a 12-week thing. This is like a 5-year thing. And when you're not getting that constant daily feedback of fuck yeah, like I've, you know, lost this much weight or I look like this, it's so hard to, there are times when you don't feel that motivation, and that's why getting that feedback instantly and all that kind of stuff, it can't be the reason, or it can't be the motivation or, the thing that keeps stoking that kind of consistent flame. You have to love the process, in my mind. Like you have to enjoy it, and you have to be inquisitive about it and know that you're looking after yourself and honoring your body and honoring your own goals and your own integrity, you know, as wanting to look after yourself. And I think that I just couldn't agree more, because I think making that transition of assuming that stuff like this takes a big roaring fire, and then when you don't have it, or when it doesn't last for longer than a week, you go, oh, well, I can't do it. It's like, that's not the point. Like, you don't get results by doing the big roaring fire. It's the, it's the daily kind of tiny little efforts you put in, and they all accumulate, and they're all kind of, yeah, couldn't agree more. I love that analogy.
That's it. That's it. I hope this helped, and I hope this gave you some good insight going forward.
Oh, absolutely. Very, very happy. I'm trying to think if there was something else. Look, there is one. Can I ask you one other thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's say if, because obviously this isn't, I'm not going to have the perfect way of approaching this, and I do believe that there will be some days when, I'll have that kind of urge to need to have more food or whatever else, and it hasn't really been scheduled in as a higher calorie day or week or whatever. I feel like I know the answer to this, but is the easiest way just to deal with that is just to have more food for that day, or and kind of just have the approach of it's just a day, just do that? Or like what would your approach be?
As in, if there's a day where you just are really, really hungry and you want to eat more food?
Yeah, and it's not even like a hunger. It's like not actually physical hunger. It's like, it's almost just a psychological thing of like, I need to have more food. I don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah, so I mean, this is a great question. And it really depends on who, excuse me, I just dropped my phone. It depends who you're talking to, and it depends on the goal. I don't work with figure competitors or physique competitors or bodybuilders, or because I just don't enjoy it, and I don't like how easily it can lead into disordered relationships with food. That being said, if I was working with a physique competitor and they had a goal by which they were stepping on stage at a certain date, or a model who was preparing for a photo shoot, you'd essentially have to tell them, suck it up, because you're a professional, and in order to be the best stage or for whatever, like, you have to do that. I hate that. I despise that with a passion. It's not what I love doing. It's not who I love coaching. And I could never tell someone that, even if they are a professional, with feeling good in my heart, because I know it would be setting them up for a really bad scenario once they're done. So with that in mind, in terms of your everyday life, in terms of you're trying to lose a little bit of weight, like not too much, but you just want to be a little bit leaner and lose some fat, I would say if you're being very consistent, then and you have a couple of those days here and there, it's totally fine. You just have to find the balance between, is that happening every day, or is that happening like, I don't know, 10% of the time, maybe 20% of the time. If you can have that 80-20 rule where 80% of the time you're sticking with it and 20% of the time you're not, then you're good. But if you're finding it's happening 50% of the time or 60% of the time, either you have to reevaluate your deficit. Are you in too much of a deficit? Are you trying to be too extreme with it? And or are you actually like, are you just sort of giving in to the slightest whim, to the slightest feeling of discomfort? Because let's be honest, fat loss isn't comfortable. It's not really fun. In the same way that, if we're also being honest, building muscle and being in a calorie surplus isn't comfortable either. Like, sometimes you have to eat past the point of fullness. Sometimes you have to eat and eat and eat. And like, you, it's not necessarily fun or enjoyable. Our body doesn't want to change. It likes being exactly where it is. So when you're trying to lose fat, it's going to make you hungrier. And we're trying to gain muscle, it's going to make you more full when you're trying to eat. It's very difficult. And I think we really have to understand that's part of the process. But if you're finding that you are not sticking to your deficit 50, 60, 70% of the time, it's either you're trying to be too extreme and rigid with it, or if it's not the case, if it's not too extreme, maybe you're just not prioritizing it enough. Maybe you're just, you're giving in too quickly. And that's really the only person who can answer that is yourself.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
Cool.
That sits really well with me. Yeah. So cool. Thank you so much, Jordan.
Danielle, thank you for coming on. It was a pleasure getting to speak with you. I really, really appreciate it a lot.
Oh, it's honestly my pleasure. It is my pleasure. Yeah, thank you for everything you do. You're amazing.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day, all right?
You too. I'll see you soon. Okay, bye.
That wraps it up for this episode of the Jordan Tsai Mini Podcast. Again, Danielle, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you did, please leave a 5-star review. If you have any questions, let me know. And if you've been wanting to join the Inner Circle, you can do that at www.sfinnercircle.com. Any questions, let me know. I'll talk to you soon.